Rise up in us, Lord. Rise up in us. Let your glory be made known, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glorify you, Jesus, and magnify you. Give you all the praise. Worthy is the Lamb. Would you just lift those hands up about half mast? Just give him all the praise. We exalt you, Jesus. We worship you. We glorify you. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify you and exalt you, Jesus. You and you alone. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. I glorify you. Magnify you and worship you, Jesus. None like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can sit or stand, but just continue to worship him. Majesty, can we do that? But I so can say. Just one more, maybe. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Exalt you, Jesus. None like you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. Would you stand with me and let's, though there's not a massive crowd here, let's just go around and give each other a great big hug. And welcome somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Father, we magnify you and give you all the glory. There's none like you. There's none like you. We worship you. We praise you. We praise you because everything that you've done for us, then you provided not only your sacrifice that gave us an eternal nature, a new nature, you also gave us sovereign path into God. Not only was the cross settled, final, and sovereign, but Lord God, you gave us a path by the power of the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues and walking in a place of your Spirit, that we could deliberately, on purpose, walk into you. And we praise you and thank you because we have this access through the blood of Jesus. We thank you that you bring all of this forward. We give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Didn't we have a good week? I think some of the people are in a hangover from last week. That's okay. It was a pretty much full house every night. Wasn't that good? Really a full house every single night. We're still getting all of the leftovers, the residuals keep coming in of reports and different things. Irma, she stopped by the house. I think it was Monday, wasn't it? Right? Tuesday, Monday? Yes. Anyway, it was late in the evening and you know, Irma's the lady whose son was healed, Sammy. And if you weren't here, then my God, what a miracle. How many miracles did we see? I think at least a third or half the crowd was healed. And all those arms growing out, and it looked like we had an arm and leg factory in here. The miracles were just, I mean, they were undeniable. And Pastor Dave, when he was sitting them in the chair, and that's why he'd have them up in front. He didn't know those people. I didn't know them either. There was obviously no prearranged agreement. And you couldn't make those things happen. I like when he's showing the things like when the arms are growing out, and he's like, you can't pull this up with a tractor trailer. And some of them you couldn't. I mean, you know, there's 3 or 4 inches difference. And then just that miracle takes place, and I don't know where he gets all that extra flesh from, but you can actually, I've had it different times. I've ministered it up here myself, and you can feel that arm growing out underneath your fingertips. And you're wondering, where does it come from? Because you don't see the shoulders shift any, but it just grows right out. And the adjustment is made, and that's exactly what happened to Sammy up here. And if you have a internet access, which everybody does, and most of you have smartphones, if you have an iPhone, I would encourage you to go to Dave's website. It's daveroberson.org, is it? Because the Sunday morning when he got home, which was the next day after he left Saturday, he just shared the week. And then, of course, he did something that he did not do all week here. I think he broke a record. He did not open his Bible one time. But we explained that. You know, we explained that. For 17 years that I had known him, he's broke some of the hardest scriptures I'd ever heard and some of the greatest revelation. And we're not putting a man on a pedestal. We're just talking about what God can do for a person who deliberately walks into God. So we saw a living epistle last week, signs and wonders every single night. So Sunday morning when he got home, and then he ministered, but he's got several ministers, but he takes the 11 o'clock a lot of times, but he told that whole story. This is what he said, and he really says this meaning it. He said he just feels like he's getting real close, and we're getting close. The whole bunch of us that are walking into this thing about receiving this thing we call revival. And as I said Sunday, that's something we come to terms with and give it a name. You couldn't even find the word revival in the New Testament. But it's all foundation that we're talking about. So he described that whole miracle, and he said this. He said, in all the 40 years of his ministry, he said, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like that. In this, seeing what it did in the aftermath behind the scenes, what a miracle, a true miracle of God can do behind the scenes. Well, we're going to have our revival. Immokalee is saved. This region is saved. And when I say that word's not in the New Testament, no, but the concept is. The absolute concept is. In fact, that's exactly what was left. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, and thousands come into the kingdom of God. That's the whole thing. But he gave us a deliberate way, and Dave was talking about, and I would encourage you, if you've got a smartphone, you can just go on there, and I've got the icon already on there. I can just listen to their services at any time, but it's the Sunday morning. This past Sunday morning, and you get about 20 minutes into it. The first 20 minutes is worship, but you need to listen to that sermon or that teaching. And he does open his Bible to Luke there and teach a little bit, but really the whole thing was about his past week with us. And he said this, he said, in 40 years of ministry and all the fantastic miracles that he has seen, this is the first time that God has ever allowed him to see what a miracle does behind the scenes, which only took his faith to another level, because for years, you know how he's been talking about being able to go into St. Jude's Hospital or those kinds of things and really see that miracle working power where it had its full capacity, and you were able to go in there and empty those things out, because all things are possible. All things are possible. You just don't see it. You don't see it working like that in our day and hour. But does that mean that wasn't his intent from the very beginning? Well, he always talked about those fantastic miracles and how that it could affect a community. So he was sharing the same thing that you guys saw during the week, telling his congregation. When Marty came up to my office door and said, hey, you know that young man that you guys prayed for? And again, I'll tell you, for those who might be here for the first time, For 10 years he had suffered agony in his back. He had had the year before he had had a disc replacement. I think they put a titanium disc or something in there, and that didn't work, so he was hopeless. And he came in walking down the center aisle when Dave called him forward with a cane, 26 years old, tall, athletic looking, in good shape, but just suffering. When Dave put him in the chair, he winced. He winced. And I was standing there, and there was a big gap between his heels, that God grew out that leg. And when he picked up his legs, he just, he moaned. Well, when he left here and walked down the center aisle and walked out of the church, we were still ministering to people, but I was wonder what's going on. I saw him come back in a little bit later, but I saw other men go out with him for a little bit. They told me later that he was out there, he was beside himself. He just fell on his knees and began to worship God. For the first time in 10 years, he was pain-free. But the amazing part was this, and we saw it, and we rehearsed it again Sunday too, and it does us well to hear these things again. But this is what Dave was saying behind the scenes. When Marty came and got me and said, that young man that you prayed for, that Dave prayed for, that's healed, he's out in the parking lot doing cartwheels. And I thought he meant he's doing real good and he's encouraged. You know, his demeanor has changed. And Marty goes, no. I said, oh, that's good, Marty. He goes, no, he's out there doing cartwheels. He's out there doing cartwheels. And so the whole church was out there watching him. And he was running and running and running and running and running. And every once in a while he'd jump. He'd jump to high heaven. It looked like he could touch this roof. He was so happy about his healing. Now that began to affect people. It began to affect when Candy went to the post office the very next day. She was standing in line and there was about five people in front of her. And the lady that's at the post office, the person behind the desk that she'd been asking to come to church for a long time. There was another person in the post office that has been at our church and has come a lot before in the past, but haven't seen in a long time. And they probably weren't at the conference. And they were standing there waiting to be helped. And this lady yelled above the crowd and said, looked around and saw Candy and said, hey, I heard about the miracle that took place in your church. I heard about that miracle and I'm coming tonight. When Irma stopped by Monday, she was beside herself because it's the Word of God in action. She said, she was just shaking almost. She couldn't talk but a few minutes and she had to go. She stood outside and she said, my other son, she said, he goes, Mom, look at this. And he had a problem. It's her grandson? Thanks. He's 10 years old, so I'm getting this straight. Okay. And evidently he had a curvature. And he raised his hands and she went over and she thought, I'll just do the same thing that happened to Sammy. I'll pray for him like Pastor Dave did. And she goes, Pastor Bronk, I tell you what, I could feel his hand as it matched the other one. It slid right through my hand and the power of God came on him. She went down the road and prayed for somebody else. Got their heels up and she said, in the name of Jesus, and it grew out. She was beside herself. See, it's not just for a preacher. The Word of God says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Her grandson's feet? Okay, his. Praise God. And you've seen that one. And I seen that. See, she saw it. Hallelujah. She's given testimony. She saw it. How many of you know that we are going to have our revival? Praise God. And see, when you see things like that and you know that The cross was sovereign. In other words, he, for 4,000 years, he did everything necessary. Put a lot of stuff in the types and shadows and brought all that. I mean, killing of lambs and keeping of holidays and all that was just types and shadows. Even I've been encouraging to read Joshua. And it's very seldom we're in an Old Testament book, but we're seeing some types and shadows in comparison to where we're going in and possessing our land. But he did all that just to bring about the cross. But once we're in the cross and once we're on the other side of the cross, don't you, I just love it. You can't improve on it, but the way Dave says it is, don't you think that once he provided something as sovereign as the cross, that he'd also provide a pathway to everything that the cross provided, just as deliberate, just as sovereign as the cross itself. So when you see all of these things that we're reporting, and it just went on all week long, and that lady that got out of the wheelchair and she walked every night, she hadn't walked in 2 years, and on and on and on. But the atmosphere, those are the kinds of things. Those are the kinds of miracles that can take a community and begin to rally them into a place where their expectation is in a place. Listen, after the crowd, not you guys, you know already, but after the crowd, the ones that did not know, after they begin to see all those things, and then he began to talk about who wants the Holy Ghost, there wasn't nobody that said, no, I don't want any of that. They all came forward. They all. My in-laws, my Jewish in-law, she came. She's never had anything like it. The power of God touched her, and as she fell out, it was so funny, she fell out, and she goes, what'd she say? I love it. She was going down, I love it. Didn't matter if you were Jewish or who you were. Once you begin to see those things take place, and she was watching all that take place, and then, do you want some of this? Yeah, I'll take some of it. Sure. But doesn't that answer for you? I mean, see, this is what the first church had. This is, like I said, I was not, and I know that you got it Sunday. I wasn't taking the glory and the specialness off of our call of revival. I was only adding to it, saying this, that what we're keep confessing before the Lord and fasting and praying for, we're not pulling on God and trying to get Him to give us something that He hasn't already released. In all reality, what we call revival, that's not special. The blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, all those kinds of things. And then what it's all here for is to get people saved. That's the main thing. That's it. That's the bottom line. But that's really not special. That's what God would call ordinary. But does that tell you where the church has slipped to? It does. But the first church had that, and they knew how they had it. They knew that the power had been delivered to them, and they'd received the gift of praying in tongues. Look, as much as I love this, and this is what we stand on, this is what brings about all this knowledge that we have. Do you know that the apostles did not stand and open this up and read out of it like I'm reading out of it? Certainly not the New Testament. They depended on the Holy Ghost more than we can imagine. They would pray in tongues and pray in tongues, and they would stand up, and this is why Paul would say, let everything be done decently in order. Let each one prophesy, for the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, you can hold what you've got, what revelation you have, because Paul explained in 1 Corinthians 14 that, as he said, I pray in tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather, and he told what he would rather do. But he basically gave away his secret. His secret of revelation knowledge was those hours that he was spending praying in tongues. And he said to the Corinthian church, I pray cumulatively If you want to break it down, cumulatively, more than you all, that guy spent a lot of time in prayer, praying in tongues. And yet, he was able to write 2/3 of what we today call. Just think, did he have any idea that the letters that he was writing would one day become part of the eternal Word of God? And some of the disciples that walked with Christ, though they're all honored men in heaven now, some of them did not write letters that became part of the canon of Scripture. Well, if this has taken us in, and this knowledge of continuing, staying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, and going forward, why do you think? Is it any secret that we've been targeted so hard? It's no secret. It's no mystery why he's tried to stop us and anybody like us. Starve us out, kill us out, disease us out, going in. He's really, you know why? Because he can't afford. Just think, now what if, and we're going to have it, but just what if those kinds of miracles were to start consecutively? And how that they begin to, one like that, affected a community where we're still seeing the shock waves from it. But what if a whole bunch of those begin? And that's what will happen. And he won't be able to contain it. So he knows he can't afford, the enemy knows he can't afford to let us go ahead and take those final steps. But I can tell you this, myself, and the testimony, like Dave was saying, Bronco, I just know we're getting so close. We really are. Would you just lift those hands and just magnify him for just a moment? I praise and glorify you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. So is it what he's wanting me to say right now is just a little bit of instruction. This isn't a line-on-line teaching like we had Sunday out of the Word, but this is more instruction. I don't feel any major alarms. I'll just tell you this. We know the enemy's MO. We know that in the aftermath of anything that God does, like on a larger scale, he always tries if he can. So I was asking God about this today as your shepherd, like, okay, there's packed services every night. A lot of wonderful testimonies, and it's still being talked about in the town already, still, and it will be probably for months. So I know his MO, and I know how he does. I know the enemy does not like that. He'll do anything he can to just come in, if he can, and slap you so hard that you'll wonder why you even have services like that, because you'll wonder if the aftermath is worth the forefront of it. So no, there's no alarms. I just tell you this. This is what instructions that have come into me. Stay diligent. Stay diligent in what you know to do, like in your prayer life and those things. Because we got to go ahead, if we're getting closer on this thing, we got to go ahead and see it all the way through. And we really are. There is and there has, and I knew even before Dave come that there was some things that were changing in the Spirit, and even some things about how God brought about some breakthroughs in our finances and stuff. But still at that, let's go ahead and kill that thing all the way. Amen? Amen? So some people come up. One or two asked me, they said, well, are you sure the way you did that Sunday was the best? Yes. We just turned you loose and said, don't worry about giving it all this, because you give all week. First of all, I'm not afraid. Secondly, I'm a good shepherd through His grace. And thirdly, you've been trained real good. You've been trained that it's all through His grace. And so I would encourage you, look, we're back to the point now that what we had to take from believing God to purchase some of that camera equipment, we had to take that and start using it. But we're back now. We can pull that back out again. But let's not stop. Since we've got our foot on Him, let's just go ahead and just absolutely run Him into the ground. Amen. Hallelujah. But stay diligent in your prayers. One of the worst things, and we're all guilty. One of the worst things that Christians do is they'll find a place of victory. They'll fight real hard for a place of victory, and then when they get some relief, they'll back off. They'll back off. I got some instruction the other day. I'll share it with you because it's kind of new to me in this. And I'm not saying that you have to do this. I'm just saying if He says to you, then follow it. I've always been, I'd take the long fast over the shorter ones, like the series. Series fasting is like you'd fast 2 or 3 days here and then you'd go off and then fast 2 or 3 days. And I'd kind of be the one, I guess I like to get it done and get it over with and then go back to life as normal. But he come to me and nobody even said anything about it, but in my prayer time I could feel Him starting to challenge and knock. And so when I hear that tweaking, when I hear that, I'll open up to it. So it's more like now it's not a command, it's like an encouragement. That's what it is. And it's not so much, here's the difference now, it's not so much looking at the long ones, but more of a you might call it a lifestyle. And he even broke it down like this: a day here, a day there. And even at times, just even if it wasn't a full fast in the day, just cutting back. I remember Kenneth Hagin, I listened to him. He said there's such power in fasting. But he said the Lord told him one time that even if you just exercise, go into that place where you're not filling yourself completely up, that'll execute that positional truth. And so the Lord has begun to speak to me about that, like here and there. And just every day listening, kind of in a listening, like if He says, okay, don't eat today, or cut way back. Just cut my calories in half. Because listen, we're going into a place we've never been before. We really are. It's an exciting place, and it doesn't matter if Dave's here or Dave's there or who comes or who goes. We're receiving this because there's an anointing here in Immokalee. Hallelujah. We've prayed it into existence. Hallelujah. So in your prayer time, do what you're doing already. And if you can add to it, if you can, add to that. In your backing up at times from the table, it doesn't have to be 10 days, 2 weeks, or a month, but if He says a day, or if He just tells you to back up some. Everything that you give Him, He'll take. Hallelujah. It'll build in you a place of self-control. And it'll build in you a place where the demonic spirits that want to come and rule the flesh, they'll come and they won't find. I was asking Him about this thing about, okay, God, when there's a great move like we just had, doesn't He like to try to come in? And the first thing the Holy Spirit said was, He reminded me of that when Jesus was going to the cross, and He said this, the wicked one's coming, He's coming to me. He's going to do everything he can to stop me, but that's okay. He has nothing in me. Well, listen, that's the place that he wants all of us. That's our protection. As long as you stay in him and just keep mortifying the flesh and backing up and saying, okay, I'll die a little bit today, I'll die a little bit tomorrow. You stay in a place of death, it doesn't matter if he does come. He won't find anything in you. Hallelujah. He won't find anything in you. So do what you're doing and add to it if you can. And if he gives you a day or two, listen to that and follow it. Praise God. And I say this house is full of all the finances it needs for this revival. In Jesus' name. We worship you, Jesus. Just one more time. Lift up those hands. I glorify you. I praise you, Jesus. Bela krose le kiritie do. Bunde kereha nehi chika boso. Nahache le kaloso merifetie. I am mostly after your loved ones. But all these things that I'll do, I've done from the very beginning. And you've seen enough. Your eyes have seen enough. Unaccustomed to like so many other of my body, so much other of my body. Your eyes have seen enough to know that there's more out there and there's more power to be had. But know that at the end of all of this, when I said that there was a more excellent way, I meant that there was a more excellent way for you to have the power. And the more excellent way for you to have the power was to walk in to my love, saith the Spirit of grace. So I tell you that at the end of all of this is my love, and at the end of all of my love is to draw in your loved ones and to draw them in from the streets and from the highways into the byways and to compel them to come in. Do not look to the right or to the left at things that will come and things that will go, but stay in a place. Stay in that place, that familiar place that I have built inside of you, line on line and precept on precept. Know that which I have promised to visit you will come to pass when all the authority that I can gather from you and everything that I have laid in you is in a secure place, and you will not be destroyed by the wicked one, but yet you'll find a place to go higher and higher and higher and receive of mine and receive of every bit of the harvest, all of the harvest, all of the sheaves, all of the wheat that I'm calling in to the Father's storehouse. You'll be able to harvest those and bring it to pass, and nothing shall by in any means harm you, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That girl that we prayed for on the Friday night, that lady, I understand, Amber's friend, her neighbor, had the bacteria in her lungs and was in a coma. And they had, I think it was 50% chance of survival. From that night on, she started getting better and better and better and better. And Saturday, she was really doing a lot better. And then Sunday, Amber said she was really doing good. And so they were going to bring her out of that coma. Hallelujah. Wasn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. How can we say thanks, Father? We give you all the praise and glory. Why don't you say this with me? I say that Immokalee is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. Maimed are made whole. And I say that thousands and thousands, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands are born again in this region, in this last day outpouring, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Keep reading. I don't think I've ever asked the church to read at least the half part of Joshua. Terry brought up a scripture. I read it again today in Joshua. Jimmy stopped by the house yesterday, I think. He was getting so much stuff out of there, I said, I'm going to steal it all. I'll give you credit maybe once or twice, and the rest of the time, after that, it's all mine. A lot of good stuff out of there. Because one of the things he said to us prophetically recently is, something has turned. Level of anointing has come, and that we're not an occupying source or an occupying army. We are in a position of an offensive warfare, and we're taking it to the region. But I'm encouraging you to read through there at least a few times. What are you going to get? What am I going to get, Pastor? Well, one of the things you're going to see is what we were ministering on Sunday. Those strongholds. I'd never heard half of the names. I don't even try to pronounce. But they're all symbolic of strongholds. But it tells you this. If he could drive it out with natural forces, he could drive it out in our day and hour with spiritual forces and get us ready for a great outpouring. Listen to what Joshua says, kind of concluding up. I mean, you read through there, and there's nation after nation, a king after king after king that they fight against. And you wonder how many more. But in the 21st chapter, verse 43, and it says this, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land." Everybody say all. "All the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered," I like this, "all their enemies into their hand." And this part we close with, "there failed not aught." That means nothing. "There failed nothing of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel." And he concludes, "all came to pass." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All of it. Praise God. Glory. Would you remember that let's just continue to keep our foot on this thing and keep going forward. God's begin to open up the hearts of people and say, okay, encouraged us to give. So if the Lord encouraged you to give, I'd say, don't back up from that. Just do everything that he's encouraged you to do. Keep going forward. There will not be Friday night confession this Friday night or the following. In fact, that whole week will be off. Next Wednesday night is the day before Thanksgiving. We'll be off then, and then we'll be off that Friday night as well. Why don't you ask the Lord what he'd have you to give tonight? Father, we thank you. There's none like you. We thank you that Immokalee's in revival. And we can't wait for this region, Lord, and all of our brothers and sisters, and other churches that are seeking you for an outpouring. We couple with them. Holy Spirit, we love you. Teach us to go forward. More than anything else, we desire to give him what he's asked us to give him. So now we ask you to speak to our hearts in this giving. We bless it. We thank you that as they bring it forward, it is blessed, and they are blessed as they go, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. making out a check just to make it a family prayer center. As you greet one another, well, we got out early, so give you time to rest. Maybe go home and put a couple of hours of prayer in. Hallelujah. Go home and eat something and think about your next fast, right? You know, every time you get real full, everybody starts talking about fasting during that meal. Boy, I'm gonna put in a few days next week, and that's right, your belly's full. It's easy to say that. Hallelujah, you're blessed, and if you have something, bring it down. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.